Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Now, here's Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine, and this is Free Advice Friday. The second Friday of every month is the day that I take your calls and answer your questions about your narcissistic abuse issues. And if you'd like to call in, the number is 424-220-1801, and I'd be happy to answer the questions that you're having. Some people email me ahead of time at loveyourlife@randygfine.com and send me their questions, and I have several of them that have accumulated over the course of the month since the last show I have done. So I will be answering those questions on air today. And I want to thank all of you who have become a part of the Facebook page, Narcissistic Abuse Survivors United. We're now up to 500 likes, and 85 new people have come on this past week. So I want to thank you all. For those who have not visited the page, it is Narcissistic Abuse Survivors United, which is on Facebook, and it's where I post all kinds of supportive information, articles, and quotes, and also where you can interact with each other and help each other through your narcissistic abuse issues. And for anyone who's interested, that beautiful song called There's a Better Way is by a group called Love Shadow. So if you're interested in hearing more about Love Shadow, you can Google them and check out their music. They're really, really great. So today, as I said, if you want to call in, the number is 424-220-1801. But I have a lot to talk about today based on the questions that you have asked me to help you out with. So let's get started, since time is really limited, and I wish I had more, but we're going to try to fit it all in. Okay. Elle writes, your podcast had been an absolute lifeline for me to come to in terms with how I hadn't had a clue that my 44-year-old marriage has been to a flaming narcissist. Your podcasts have literally kept me from losing my mind coping with Dr. Perfect. Something I see now is that I have become very isolated. So listening to your podcasts is very much like having a warm, experienced, and knowledgeable girlfriend in my car, in my ear, I mean. With your support, I now know that I am not crazy. A request for a podcast with more in-depth discussion on the more subtle forms of emotional abuse, the constant low-level, insidious, discounting, belittling, opposing kind of emotional abuse. I can see now that that is why this abuse has evaded my perception. The abuse was never dramatic or obvious, just a constant drip, drip, drip of abuse that over time has left me with an almost completely eroded sense of self. My most sincere thanks to you for opening my eyes. Keep up the good work. You are saving lives. I love when I get these kind of encouraging letters from you because it's not really about me, it's about you. But when I get these encouraging letters, it makes me really want to work harder to bring that information out there and get it to you. So let me talk a little bit about these this kind of backhanded abuse that most of us really miss out on. And this kind of abuse is so much more damaging than anybody can possibly conceive. I mean, we know, we read a lot about this, but when it comes right down to it, it is way more damaging than you can even imagine. It is both psychological warfare and mind control. So these are deeply set kind of manipulations that are subconscious. You don't really know they're happening to you, and they stay with you for a lifetime until you become aware of what had happened. So let me talk a little bit about some of these things that narcissists do. One other way that this is also called stealth abuse, which is a surreptitious form of psychological abuse that anytime that's perpetrated behind closed doors. The first one I want to talk about is abuse by proxy. And a narcissist carry out these campaigns both directly and indirectly. But with abuse by proxy, this is a roundabout way of abusing, not by the abuser himself, but through the unwitting people that he recruits. So what the narcissist does is he manipulates other people to side with the person they're abusing and con them into doing their dirty work. So specifically, the narcissists that are in positions of authority or have respect, such as parents, doctors, politicians, police officers, lawyers, wealthy people or famous people, tend to be the most influential recruiters. So these are the people that are most easily find people to recruit. And what they do is they get a small army of people who really have nothing to do with this issue. And these people are known as flying monkeys. They gather them up. These are friends, family members, neighbors, community members. It could even be law enforcement. And they feed them propaganda about the victim. And that's known as the smear campaign, and we'll get to that in a minute. But what they do is they put watchful eyes everywhere out into the community so that there is no avenues for the victim to escape. Actually, we have a caller, so I'm going to stop reading the letters and right now take the caller, and we'll come back to the letters. Okay, good morning. This is area code 872. Did you have a question for me?
Yes, I did. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to ask a question. What is the fine line or difference between narcissism and sociopath?
Oh, very, very interesting. Well, narcissism is there is a fine line. There are a lot of the same distinctions between narcissists and sociopaths. Now, sociopaths, I just want to get my information up here so I can really give it to you straight.
The reason I was asking is because when you were talking about flying monkeys, and I was reading the heading for your show today, is it really struck a chord with me, is my father, when we were young, he used to play us children against each other. And it was like a game, and he'd sit back, and it was like myself against my brothers or my brothers, you know, there were five of us boys, and it was almost like a game, you know, like he'd have us fighting against each other, and, you know, he'd sit back and laugh, you know, and when you said that, it kind of like, wow, you know, took me back real quick. And that kind of control, you know, really struck a chord with me. But months ago, when I've heard the word sociopath for years, but it never, until I really looked at the meaning of it, you know, it never, you know, when I first read it, I was kind of like, oh my God, you know, I know what that word really means. But then when I read narcissism, you know, my parents fit that, you know, both meanings of it. And so I'm kind of trying to figure out, mm-hmm. the difference of them both.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of people actually have this question. So sociopathy and psychopathy are what's considered antisocial personality disorder, which is the reason that they're all so similar is that they all belong to the same cluster of disorders. They are the emotional histrionic disorders that are classified under what's called Cluster B in the Bible that all mental health professionals use. So when someone has narcissism or narcissistic personality disorder, I should say, because it's very, very different than just being narcissistic, which that's also a question that I got for today. When they have it, they also have aspects of all the other things. So they have aspects of sociopathy, aspects of psychopathy, they're histrionic. Some of them have aspects of borderline personality disorder. So it's no accident that they sort of all mimic each other. Now, the one thing that really separates narcissists from antisocial personality disorder is narcissists do these things to get attention, admiration, and adoration. So everything that they do, all the abuse comes right back to the fact that they're trying to get some sort of narcissistic supply. They're trying to fill up some way. And with narcissists, negative or positive, it doesn't matter. But they also have a very sick, sadistic sense of humor. And they do really enjoy creating, wreaking havoc among the people around them, especially their family and especially their children. So I'm just trying to find, because I wrote a whole chapter about this in my book, and I'm just trying to find it so I can really give you the best information. Okay, here we go. Okay, so narcissists are motivated by attention, recognition, and validation. Antisocials, they don't really care about these things. They're motivated more by the end goal and by the personal gain that they'll get. Antisocials are basically lazy about how they go about getting it. Narcissists are going to really try hard and work hard if they can get approval for it. And the other thing is that when narcissists experience rejection, they get wounded, and this is where the rage comes out and those kind of things. Antisocials, which is, again, sociopathy and psychopathy, they don't experience rejection in an emotional way. So if you have somebody who is raging at you whenever they don't get their way, whenever you try to show independence or argue with them or even challenge them in any way, you're more likely dealing with a narcissist.
Okay.
So that's one of the main things that you can see.
Okay. Because what I was always trying to figure out is the game playing, and see with my parents, my father especially seeked attention of other people, and in our family it was always the game that I always refer to. You know, like in front of people, you always played the All-American family. You know, the picture-perfect family, but when the door closed, it was, you know, a completely different story, you know. And so,
right.
You know, and that's the part today that I just feel sick about, you know, like I can't play that game anymore. And so, you know, it just, you know, family functions I don't go to anymore. I don't speak to my family. You know, it makes me all sick, you know, because it's just my whole life prior to, you know, myself getting married anymore, you know, has just been a lie. And so, you know, and I can't continue the lies anymore, you know, because it's just been fake. And so,
right.
You know, just an old Merry Christmas, you know, happy birthday. You know, I don't even want to say on the radio what I wouldn't really want to say, you know, because it's, you know, F you, you know, you guys are, you know, it makes me sick. It's
mm-hmm.
The whole thing is a farce. And you know what I'm saying? It was a show. And then, I don't even know how to feel about it because,
okay.
You know, the hitting, the kicking, the slapping, the throwing down the stairs, the, you know, my father beating on my mother, you know, all that. And then all of a sudden when somebody knocks on the door, you know, okay, hurry up, children, put the smile on your face.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Believe me. And this happens, and not to minimize or trivialize what you went through, this happens in every single family that has a narcissistic parent. Every single one. And it is absolutely sickening. The thing that, you know, you said your father did with your siblings is called triangulation. And I don't know how much reading you've done on this, but triangulation is a way where the narcissistic parent controls the flow of information. So they tell each person something different, but what they do is they pit you all against each other. And
yeah.
Because they do it in such a way that they can never be called on, the siblings end up arguing with each other because when it goes back to the parent, they deny they ever said anything. So
yes.
They wreak this havoc. They do not want siblings to be close to each other. And in many cases, this can result in a lifetime of hatred among siblings until they become educated on exactly what has happened to them. And they realize that this had nothing to do with who they were and how they related to each other. But the thing about the closed door thing, yes. And when I talk about this, I'm talking about this both personally and professionally because I experienced the exact same thing. My mother was hell on wheels before people would come over. And the minute the door opened, she was Susie Homemaker, perfect mother. Everybody was on display. And so I understand that. And everyone, to this day, my mother's 87. Everyone loves my mother. They think she is a godsend to this earth. And she is the
yes.
most cruel, despicable woman ever. So
yes.
I understand where you're coming from with that. And really, it is sickening. And it,
yes.
And but understanding, learning about all the techniques that were used against you is really how you will eventually be able to overcome this. And the thing that's the hardest about all of this is accepting it just as a blanket acceptance, just saying it was what it was, because we never get redeemed for what we experience. We never get validation for what we experience. We can tell them everything. We can tell our abuser everything that ever happened to us, and they will deny, 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 and turn it around on us. And that's maddening.
Exactly. But can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I feel like a prisoner for many years now in my own home because I don't trust anybody anymore. And my wife, she's not angry with me, but she says to me, she says, why don't you trust people? You know, my wife, is, you know, we're like two different people in the sense, you know, like, you know, I was running away and, you know, living in foster care and things, you know, at a young age. And, you know, my wife was playing with Barbie dolls, you know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we come from two different worlds at a young age. But, you know, she's like, why don't you trust people anymore? And I'm just kind of like, I don't even want to go there with you, you know. But, you know, she's like, you know, like if somebody walks up to me and says hello, I walk the other way anymore. And
mm-hmm.
and so, but I feel like kind of like shut off anymore from people. And I know it's, I do that to myself, but she says, like, you need to get out. And I do things, don't get me wrong, but I don't do things with other people because I'm so distrustful of other people anymore.
Right. And you have every right to be that way. And, you know, in partnerships, this is a really common dynamic that a partner who has not experienced this can never really understand what someone who has experienced it goes through. And so, and they never will. There's no possible way, no matter how much education, reading, whatever, that they could ever do, will never experience what you're experiencing. And you have every right to feel the way that you do. You're wounded. You're still wounded. And there's various reasons for why you are still wounded. There's so many things that happen in childhood. So many different, it's more than psychological abuse. There's also a physiological change in the brain that happens when this kind of abuse occurs. There's so many things that have happened to you that until you do the work and overcome this and work with somebody who can really help you pull it out, you're always going to feel like this. But as far as your wife goes, what I tell people is to ask their partner not to understand, but to just accept and support, because as long as you're trying to do the work and get through this, that's really all you need is for somebody to say, I may not understand it, but I'm there for you, and I validate that it's real, that what you experienced is real, and I'll never understand, but I love you, and I will support you in your healing process. And that's all you can ever ask of anybody. As far as isolating, what happens is, when you are a child going through this, you're not taught, these kind of parents do not teach their children. They don't give them the tools for life in many ways, but one of the things is they don't teach them how to cope with life, because life isn't easy and life hurts at times. And when you're parented correctly, you're taught to be able to face these things and you're given tools for how to deal with them. As survivors of this type of child abuse, we are not. So we develop some very unhealthy coping mechanisms. And these we carry with us through the rest of our life. So we don't approach life the way other people do until we become very aware of what we're doing. And this happens. This is why I always stress to do the work, to get the help with somebody who can help you. This is something that I work with people all the time. I actually counsel over the phone, and I do it worldwide. Because most therapists are not equipped to help you with this. They don't understand it. They're not trained for it. Unless they've had great experience with it, they don't understand it. It really takes a survivor to help a survivor.
Exactly. And you know why? Because, and I don't mean this disrespectfully towards anybody, I went one time to talk to a pastor one time about this, and his answer was, well, pray about it. And I was like, okay, you know, which is good advice. Don't get me wrong, you know. And so I was like, okay, well, then I went to another counselor one time about it. And they just, you know, when I said to the woman, I said, we were talking, and I told her about, you know, the couple of times my father pulled guns on me. And she did, her mouth kind of went, oh, really? You know, like, whoa, you know what I mean? And so, you know, when I started telling her my story, and, you know, I just knew that I was kind of like, I'm in the wrong place. You know what I mean? And so, and so after I went a couple of times, you know what I mean? So it would almost be like going to a carpet salesman to fix your car. And so I just knew it wasn't in the right fit. And then, so I went a couple of other different places, and I just knew that you're right, I think it takes a survivor to help a survivor. I think that's really good advice.
Well, and I say this all the time. I emphasize this because what people don't understand is you think that a therapist is trained in all emotional and mental health disorders. That's not true, because they're trained. There's something called the DSM-5. It's the Bible all mental health professionals use. And in it is diagnosis for every kind of mental health problem or, you know, situation or whatever that has ever been accredited by the American Psychiatric Association. There's diagnostic codes and there's criteria for diagnosing these things. So when they go to school, they basically learn these things. Well, there's something called narcissistic abuse syndrome. Now, if they had a narcissist walk into their office, they could diagnose a narcissist because they have criteria for diagnosing them. They do not have criteria for diagnosing the abuse syndrome caused by narcissists. They're not trained to recognize it. So what happens is they end up nitpicking at little things. Yeah, you might have had a rough childhood. Maybe you're suffering depression. Maybe, yeah, you had an abusive father, abusive mother. But the syndrome, which is so all-encompassing and so many things involved, it's very, very complex, they don't recognize it. And so you get things like, well, you know, it's time to let go, or, yeah, so that happened, but, you know, it's time to move on, or your parents are old, isn't it time to maybe make peace with them? Or you get all the wrong things, and it's very painful to hear that. It's insult to injury. So
yes,
this is why I explain that, and this is why I do the work that I do, and I work with people professionally, because I know how to help them. Not only do I know it from, you know, a personal level, I know it from a professional level. I know what it takes to get through all this. And it's not an easy thing, and it takes a lot of reinforcement, a lot of validation. So it doesn't surprise me that you did not find help when you sought it.
Right. Because I wondered my whole life, you know, what did I ever do wrong? I mean, as a young boy, what did I ever do to deserve this? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I never stole anything. I never hurt anybody. You know what I mean? And it almost felt like it was a curse. You know what I mean? Like, what did I ever do? You know, I was born. You know, I didn't.
That's right.
You know, what did I do to deserve this? The whole life of pain, you know, like, what did I do? I mean, I never
right.
did anything wrong to deserve this.
Exactly. And that's the way a healthy mind thinks. And that's what, that's why it's so hard for us to wrap our minds around this, because we have healthy minds. Narcissists have pathological minds. They do not think like we think. Their entire life, every waking moment, every breath they take is motivated by getting and keeping narcissistic supply. Narcissistic parents have children to grow their own narcissistic supply. They don't have children to love and respect their children and enjoy their children. They have them to grow their own narcissistic supply. That is it. That's the bottom line. So they are not capable of loving their children. They don't really care about their children. And it is so despicable and so tragic.
Yeah. And as
somebody that has a healthy brain, all of us, what we do is we try to figure out what we've done to create it. Because how could somebody do this when we've done nothing? That's the mind of a healthy person thinking. Narcissists don't think like that.
No, no. And I think when reality hit home for me is when my parents finally got divorced, and I was in my late 30s, and my mother opened her mouth for the first time, and you know, when the tables finally turned on her, and she called me, and after she, you know, of course, she became an alcoholic after they, you know, got divorced. And one night she was drinking and she finally confessed a lot of things to me. And when she did that, I don't think I ever looked at her the same way afterwards. But when she finally opened her mouth one night and said the things that she said to me, I honestly wanted to drive to her house and choke her, because I never felt as much rage in my life, because I wanted to know why, like, and I've asked her probably 100 times, why did you stay with him? You know, he beat her up. He put her in the hospital multiple times. He beat on the kids the whole life. He when she was pregnant one time with one, you know, a brother who was between me and one of my older boys or my older brothers, he beat her up so bad that she stillborn. So basically he killed one, you know, a brother. And so there were so many things that he did, but she kept going back. And so, and I just, and I guess I'll never get an answer, but through all of this that he's ever done, and she kept going back and back and back and back. She'd leave for a couple of days, you know, like I'm leaving you, and then come back, you know, and then he beat her up, put her in the hospital, you know, and you know what I mean? And then so, but why? Well, you know, you had so many opportunities to leave, and you kept
No.
going back.
She didn't really have opportunities to leave because what the narcissist, what your father did to her from the very first moment he had her was he began systematically stealing her soul and her self-esteem to the point where she had no self and could not sustain a life without him. And this is what he did to her. Okay? She's also a victim of the abuse. And it is so, it just as you just as you feel all these things and all this confusion, so did she. And anyone that stays, that marries a narcissist and stays with them is going to be completely destroyed. They are reduced to the point of being nothing more than a puppet. They have no soul. And it's very, very sad. That's not to say that your mom was not responsible to her children, because this is a real pet peeve of mine, because I have my father was an enabling parent and still is. And I really, some people feel very soft about their enabling parent. I don't, because I think it's a parent's job, no matter what, to protect their children under any circumstance, above everything. But that said, the abuse is so insidious and so mind controlling that nobody is thinking clearly. Nobody. And I don't, you know, this show is, gosh, this show is way too short. I really would encourage you, if you don't want to work with me, to find somebody and to make sure that they have. That they're skilled in narcissistic abuse syndrome. If they're not, you're wasting your time. But I do all my counseling over the phone, and my fees are reasonable. They're the same thing that you'd pay for like a copay. I think it's like $60 an hour or dollar a minute or whatever, is what I charge. And we could work together on this. And I tell you, I could get you feeling so much better and so much clearer in your understanding. So if you're interested in doing that, you can go to my website, randigfine.com. It's RANDIGFINE, randigfine.com. And then go to the page that says Fine Life Issues Counseling. And then there's the
Okay.
information and the way to make an appointment with me. Because I cannot possibly get you to where you need to be in this short amount of time that we have together, but I feel your pain and your frustration, and I know you feel very lost. And I don't want you to feel that way. I know that you can feel better, and it comes with the understanding of what happened to you and what happened to your family. That's really where it begins. So I urge you to do that kind of work for yourself, and so that you don't walk through life feeling like this.
Okay.
I've been where you
That's all.
are. I've been where you are, trust me. I know what it feels like. But I also know that through the right help, you can get through this to the point where, you know, I tell people, you know, those wounds are always going to be there, but you can live a functional life where it doesn't impact everything that you do.
Right. It's just that I know that I'm not that kid anymore, but I just don't know how to get out of that kind of vicious circle.
You know,
Do you
I
know,
just
out
got
of
off of the
it.
phone. Yeah, I just got off the phone with my with my sister, who's 62 years old, who I've been working with on this for years, trying to get her to a place. And she said to me, why do I still feel like a kid, like a child, stuck in that time? This is so typical and normal for what, considering what you've experienced. But like I said, it's all about unraveling it all, learning the mechanisms that used against you, because that is the narcissist's kryptonite. When we understand what was done to us, we can't be hurt anymore. But there's so many things that I can't even begin to tell you in this short amount of time that were done to you covertly, overtly, and brain-wise and physical and so many things that it's going to take time, but you're going to need help through this. You can't think your way through this.
Okay.
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 Trust me on that.
I will.
Trust me on that.
Thank you. Thank you for talking.
You are so welcome. I'm so glad that you reached out and called in. And I'm telling you, it can get better for you. But you cannot possibly do this on your own.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Thank you for calling in. To those who are listening, this was a very, very good call, because I know that all of you relate to the same things. You have all experienced the same things. You have the same questions. We all do. And there were some other things that I was going to answer on this show today, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to schedule another show so that I can answer those questions. I'm going to do that. Let's see. I'm going to do that on Monday, the 16th, so this coming Monday at 11 a.m. If you go to my show page, just go to randygfine.com and go to my show page, and you'll see the link to go to that show. I will do it on Monday at 11 a.m. Let me just make sure on my calendar that I'm giving you a good date that I that I can come through on. I'm walking from one end of the house to the other here to try to figure this out, but I want to make sure I'm giving you the right information. Okay. Yes, May 16th, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, I'm going to revisit this show and answer those questions that I promised I would answer. So you guys only have to wait a few days to get that information. This is such a painful, painful, painful thing for us. You know, even those who suffer narcissistic abuse in adulthood through relationships, they were set up in childhood in some way that made them very vulnerable. And to the caller that I just had, the fact that your mom stayed in this relationship, there was something in her childhood that set her up to become vulnerable to these kind of people. And one of the most important reasons to do the work and heal from this abuse is because this pattern will repeat over and over and over and over in your life in some way until you understand what happened to you. This is, you become a target of these kind of people if you don't do the work. You must understand all of the mechanisms that happen to you so that you recognize them in others. And because people will take advantage of you in your life, and there are ways to build your boundaries. There's ways to build your self-esteem. There's so many things that you can do to prevent that from happening, but you must understand the mechanisms. It is very, very, very important. That is how you disarm these people and you keep them away from you. So many people call me, for counseling help, and they say, I just don't know how to get into another relationship because I was in one with a narcissist and I keep being afraid that I'm going to do it over and over. And the truth is that is the tendency to do it over and over and over again. And another reason that I stress so, so highly for doing the work is that we pass this on to our children whether we want to or not. If we don't do the work, our children are going to suffer for this. There's no way around it. There is no possible way that your children will not be affected. Even if you have another parent who's very healthy-minded, if you are still suffering from this abuse and you have not done the work, your children will suffer in life for this. And the reason is because There is no inner experience that's built in narcissistic abuse victims. We don't know what self-love is. We don't know how to validate ourselves. We don't know how to cope. We don't know how to set proper boundaries in our life. Well, we're the parent. If we don't know these things, we can't teach them. We must know these things to be able to give our children that edge in life that we did not have. And, you know, I just can't say this enough. Everybody thinks, well, they'll be okay. They'll be okay. They will not be okay. There's no possible way. Everybody listening out there, get help. If not for yourself, get it for your children. And change, break this legacy, break this chain of events that has happened in your life. Stop it. Make sure it doesn't go to the next generation, because this is epidemic, and it does. It will go from generation to generation to generation until it stops. I'm one of three girls. I'm the only one that had children. I worked like crazy to make sure my kids did not get any of this, and they're doing so well in life. My sisters were not able to and chose not to have children, and thank God for that, because they would have wrecked these children's lives. They were so messed up. So that's what I have to share with you today. So anyway, Monday, May 16th, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Tune in again. Like I said, go to my website, randygfine.com. There'll be a link directly to the show, or you can go right to Blog Talk Radio to this show, and there'll be a link. You can just listen in, and I will continue with the show. I'll answer the questions. So, and I look forward to you tuning in then, and I want to help you guys so much. This is my life's work. I hear your pain. I know your pain. I felt it, there's no need for it. There is no need to feel this much pain. I can help you get through this, so please reach out. Well, that's about it for today. I have, for those of you who don't know, I have just finished the manuscript for my book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, which is for you guys, based on all the questions, concerns that you have voice to me over the years, and the book tells you every step of the way what happened to you in all ways, whether it's physical, emotional, mental. It tells you how to, it gives you the tools for how to heal from it. It tells you how to deal with every relationship in your life that has been impacted by this. And it also, the very last chapter is for those who love us, to teach them how to work with us and help us through this process, because they don't know either. So I'm excited. I'm sending that book out for editing. I'm hoping to get this out as fast as possible, but I will let you know. It is going to answer all your questions. So I have to say goodbye. Unfortunately, I wish this show was longer, but I'll talk to you on Monday, the 16th, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. So thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is your talk radio show host, Randy Fine, author and life issues counselor, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity, and believe me, I wish that to you, always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RandyGFine.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. There's a better way.